The 522nd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by Champs. Run your own March Madness pool and enter Champs free bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Hi-de-ho, DeGenerinos. Welcome to episode 522 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's episode is dedicated to the hammer, Mark Coleman. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. It's a beautiful day up here in MMA Gambling Podcast, Studios North. Spring is finally here. I've seen four Ferraris over the past 2 days, so that means spring, it must be here because the Ferraris are coming back out to play. This is not a Ferrari of a UFC fight card coming up this week and that we're covering. I'll tell you that right off the get-go. It's a UFC Apex card, so you know what you're going to get. But regardless, we actually have some decent lines on this fight night. Maybe not a heck of a lot of underdogs, but at least a lot of the favorites are not massive favorites. So hopefully we can make some dough for you. Today is all about the prelims. We've got 7 prelim fights. Tomorrow we will hit you up with 6 main card fights. I said we, it's not the royal we. There's someone with me. People who subscribe to our YouTube channel and are watching right now at MMA Gambling Podcast, they can see a cleanly shaven Gumby Vreeland beside me. So let's bring him in. He will let us know how many Ferraris he has seen over the past couple of days. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Nobody drives Ferraris in the Hilltowns.
No.
A.
Okay.
B, I would say this card is... Actually, before I get to the card, hit the subscribe button. It's right below me. When I say this at the beginning of the show, we inexplicably get a whole bunch of new followers. Also, it says that 50% of our listeners are not subscribed pretty much every single episode. Yeah. Why are you listening to us if you can't click that button and just, turn the notifications off even if you want? I don't care. I just need the subscribe number. So please hit the subscribe button. Help us get those numbers up. And then to your point, yeah, I thought this was kind of a hard card to find underdogs on. And you know me, I love a good underdog. Mm-hmm. When I did my first cursory glance through the fight card, I was like, I don't know if there's a single underdog I like on this fight card, and I wound up landing on a few of them, but I think the biggest benefit to this card is just that there are so many like close favorites that I don't even think need to be close. Like there are a lot of lines I like on this one where I'm like, that favorite could be another 100 higher and I'd still be interested. So pretty interested in what your takes on some of these are, although it sounds like no dogs for Jeff.
I have a few dogs in real life and on this fight card.
Just a couple in real life, but a lot on this card now.
Oh, okay. To speak what Gumby is saying, that he basically was just reiterating what I was saying about the lines being pretty decent. We have a few big ones. We have a -450, -300 today, and then tomorrow's episode, the main card, -549. That's the biggest one on the card. But we've had what? -1100s over the past few weeks, so you know it's an improvement.
But also, can you count a fight that has OSP in it? Are you allowed to count that?
he used to be all right.
He fought for a title. He fought for a title, right? Like,
yeah. He used to be okay. You know, he's had an okay career, I guess. He's lasted a long time, right?
Yeah, I mean, he inexplicably has lasted a long time.
Someone who is not, sadly, our friend Daniel Lacerda. He did actually last a long time, but now pour out a little liquor for him now. He finally got cut after going 0-4-1, 0-5-1. Which one was it?
It was 0-4 in a no contest.
0-4 in a no contest. Okay.
Yeah. And Sad. I could see, and then a pullout against Edgar Cherise too. Like, yeah, he had one loss, one no contest, and one pullout against Edgar Cherise. You can call that the Daniel Lacerda hat trick. so yeah, a nice little career for him. You know what the weirdest part about him is, and this is definitely not a Daniel Lacerda podcast. The weirdest part about him is he is not the least talented guy in that division by a mile. Like, he's actually quite talented. The fact of the matter is his fight IQ is just the worst I've ever seen. Like, his fight IQ is worse than any fighter who has ever stepped into the game. And I do truly mean that. Like, CM Punk might have been wildly limited in what he knew how to do, but he knew what he wanted to do. Even James Toney. James Toney was like, I want to box, and he, like, didn't see the ankle pick coming. And, like, that's not his fault that he didn't see it coming, but he wasn't like, hey, let me shoot a double leg here on Randy Couture. And that's essentially what Daniel Lacerda was doing every time.
Yep. So anyhow, it was fun while it lasted. But yeah, goodbye to Daniel Lacerda. As Gumby said, this is definitely not a Daniel Lacerda podcast. We've had 5 episodes already that were Daniel Lacerda podcast episodes. So let's get into the exciting fighters that are fighting on this card instead. This is UFC Fight Night. Tuivasa versus Ty Burra, aka UFC Fight Night 239, aka UFC on ESPN Plus 97, aka UFC Vegas 88, which is what we'll more than likely be calling it on the website sportsgamingpodcast.com with our articles and whatnot. Had a few fighters fall off, a couple fighters fall off, but we've got replacements slotted in there, so we still have all 13 fights. As I said, today we're going to be doing the prelims. Prelims are on ESPN Plus, 4 p.m. Eastern time is the start time, and we're kicking things off with a bantamweight fight, a gentleman who was on Gumby's other podcast, Top Turtle MMA podcast, last week, Charlampos Gregorio, a very good interview with him, versus Chad and Heliger, the Canadian. He was on your podcast before too, was he not?
Yeah, I've interviewed Chad and Heliger. Okay. Both of them are good guys.
All right. Definitely. All right. We'll tell you about Heliger first. He's stepping in here short notice, but not officially short notice by my records, which is a month or less. He was a little bit over a month, but I thought I would put that out there. He also, I should let you know, he's a monster. Not a monster, actually, the monster, the one and only. He's a 12-7, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been submitted 6 times, 1-2 in the UFC. He won his debut, lost 2 straight. Before that, he won 10 straight fights, so 0-2 and 10-2 are his records I have here for you. Lost his last fight via submission, has not won since February 2022. 1-0 in contender series, was a regional champion, used to fight at featherweight, 2010 pro MMA debut. He's been outstruck over his UFC and contender series fights by 0.48 strikes per minute, so pretty much a wash there. He's got better grappling stats than Gregorio, but Gregorio, we only have 1 fight for him with stats, and he's at plus 140 for Heliger. Gregorio, the ferocious versus the monster. Gregorio is 8-3 with 6 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. This is his UFC debut. He's into the UFC off of a TKO win on the contender series. He's actually won 4 straight fights via TKO. He's not lost since March of 2021. Was a regional champion, 2014 pro MMA debut. So he's a veteran, but he's only fought 11 times. Inch height, 3 inches of reach over. And Heliger, 6 years younger. Based off of his 1 fight, he has better striking stats than Ann Heliger, and he's 4 times more active landing strikes. He outstruck his opponent on the contender series. It was Cameron Smotherman, right? So we were rooting against him at the time. We wanted Gregorio to lose. He did not. Anyhow, he outstruck Smotherman by 9 strikes per minute. He's at minus 160. So the Gregatious Gregorio. His name should be Gregatious, not Ferocious. But anyhow, Gumby, go ahead.
I like that. I'll pitch to him next time we chat.
Okay,
please do. I'm going to go with Charlampos Gregorio. I think, you know, the big piece for me is if you go into this fight and you take a look at how they strike from range. Chad and Heliger, you take his fight with Jose Johnson, who he fought last. He did a lot of dipping his head all the time when he throws punches, either to get back out of range or as like part of a combination or as part of an avoidance. And I think it makes him like almost extra hittable, especially in the case of Gregorio, who kind of stays in the pocket longer than somebody like Jose Johnson would. The other thing is Gregorio is really good at making up for being the guy with shorter range. Because most of his career, he's been the guy with shorter range. You know, he's only a 5'7 bantamweight. That is not a big, tall guy. He's only got 67.5 inches of reach. That is not a huge reach for a bantamweight. And as you mentioned at the top, he's an inch taller and has got a 3.5 inch reach advantage. So we're taking a guy who's a good striker in terms of what he puts together in terms of combinations. And he's also a powerful striker who puts people away. And suddenly he no longer has to be the guy trying to work his way in. Instead, he's got the guy coming to him. Could it throw him off that it's brand new? Maybe, but I think it's just extra levels of advantage here for Gregoriou. And for Inheliger, I think it actually could be a way of lulling him to sleep. You know, I know he's a guy who he likes to strike. He sometimes relies on his grappling because, you know, like I said, in that Jose Johnson fight, he probably had a, you know, 13-inch reach disadvantage in that fight because Jose Johnson's built so awkwardly. But, like, he's a guy who tends to work to the inside. But I think this might be a case where he's like, maybe I can strike from range. Maybe I don't have to use my grappling. If he does that, it's lights out. Char Lampros Gregoriou has got big power. So give me Gregoriou here.
Are you worried that Inheliger has never been knocked out, only submitted?
I mean, I am, but go ahead and look through his record. Like, I mean, I have it right here. Tapology, pull it up. It's not a list of guys who hit knockouts. You know what I mean? Like, the guys who are out here beating him are not guys who I would expect him to knock him out. You know, like I mentioned, the last fight was Jose Johnson. You go the fight before that, Haile Olatang, big knockout artist, not really. Jesse Strader, you know, kind of a grapple heavy guy. Muin Gafarov, again, guy who would way prefer to just wrestle you. Brady Hiestan. Like, this is not a big list of power punchers. And again, you know, sort of to my point before about, am I worried that he's never been knocked out? No, I think he is probably going to find some sort of blind confidence in that as well, right? Like,
yeah.
Suddenly he's not fighting a guy whose range is bothering him. Suddenly he's not fighting a guy where he has to work to the inside. And he's like, I've never been knocked out before. And that seems like the perfect time you get knocked out.
Yep, very good point. I'm taking Gregoriou as well. I didn't say that. Buried the lead here, yeah. Like what I've seen from him, like his power, obviously. Like that he's way younger, and I like that. And then Helger is on a shortened fight camp. So I'm picking against the Canadian, going with the Greek, Gregoriou. All right. I'm also going with Merch Madness. We're running a Merch Madness contest here to get you people dressed like Gumby and myself, because that's what you want to do. You want to look like us. Merch Madness is 15% off everything in our merch store with promo code MADNESS. So at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store is the place to be. You can get the SGP hat I'm wearing, actually, and get lots of MMA gambling podcast gear. We have lots of good gear in there, including some phrases that we say on the show. So sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Madness is your checkout code to get 15% off. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features are include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And rewards are you get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on Cut. Check out the custom bets that the SGPN crew are rolling out on there right now. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. Here's the catch. It's about K-U-T-T.com. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. And, of course, we're brought to you still by our friends at Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Basically, you pick between 2 and 5 players. You pick higher or lower on whatever stat total you want. If you hit your bets or hit your picks, you can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Gumby and I are always on there daily, prepping our Underdog Fantasy NBA articles for the website sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So we see they got lots of cool stuff in there. So get in there, sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code and Gumby's promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700. Visit ncpgambling.org. All right. We are moving on the fight card to women's strawweights. Corey McKenna, Jacqueline Amarim, one of our boys, but she's a girl. Amarim Jackie is the nickname. What a great nickname. My nickname is Jeff. She's 7-1, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. She finished everyone, never been finished herself. 1-1 in the UFC, won her last fight via TKO, was the LFA champion before this. Owen is a pro grappler, but she is a BJJ world champion in the amateur grappling realm. 10 inches of reach over McKenna, because McKenna is a tiny little girl. Amarin, better striking stats, more active landing strikes as well. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.61 strikes per minute, plus 105. The money has been pouring in on McKenna here. Poppins is a nickname for McKenna. 8-2, two knockouts, two submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 3-1 in the UFC. She's won two straight. However, she's not fought since December of 2022. She's not lost in 2 years. March 2022 is her last loss. 1-0 in contender series. 4 years younger than Amarin. Better grappling stats, which is kind of surprising. And she's outstruck her UFC and contender series opponents. She's been outstruck by 0.21 strikes per minute. So pretty much a wash. Minus 125. I don't know why the money's coming in on McKenna. I don't think Dan really knows either, but we will gladly take it. I'm guessing Gumby's going with Amarin as well, because like I said, she's our guy, but she's a girl. I guess it was UFC jitters in the first fight. Did not look good in her debut, but looked more like what we were hoping she would look like in her second fight and what she's looked like prior to coming into the UFC. So I think we're getting a steal here. I'm not a big fan of McKenna. Like, very tiny, doesn't really have a lot of finishing power, hasn't fought in over a year and a half now. So I don't really get why the money is coming in on her, but Amarin is my pick.
Can I add another knock to Conor McKenna while we're on it? Because I'm also taking Jackie Amorim. I think the other thing that really bothers me about Conor McKenna, because I did a deeper dive into her and asked myself, like, you know, is there a good reason to like her here? Because when the money's pouring in that direction and you're on the other side, you have to wonder if you're missing something. And I went and I looked. The thing I hate about Conor McKenna the most is her strength of schedule is awful. It's one of the worst strength of schedules I've seen in a women's strawweight.
Yeah, it's all people who don't exist anymore.
The losses to Elise Reed. She got out grappled by Kay Hansen, but somehow won that decision. You know, we got, Vanessa Demopoulos was on Contender Series. I don't know how well we count that one. The two recent wins were Cheyenne Vliesmas and Miranda Granger. Like, those aren't great wins. And like, you know, you mentioned our grappling stats being all right. That's because she got takedowns on Elise Reed and Miranda Granger, and she got a takedown on Cheyenne Vliesmas. And like, those women are not particularly great at stuffing takedowns. In addition to that, that's Corey McKenna's best game, right? Corey McKenna's best game is to take you to the mat. She doesn't want to be there in this fight. She's a worse grappler than Jackie Amorim in terms of jiu-jitsu. Her submission skills are subpar in terms of, you know, how they rank with Amorim. Because Amorim is legitimately, you know, like a world-class black belt grappler. We're not talking about somebody who's just like good at jiu-jitsu for MMA, you know, like Chase Hooper or something like that. We're talking about somebody who is like at the top in terms of competing for that. And I think McKenna doesn't want to be on the ground with that. She's given up 10 inches of reach. Yeah, I gotta like Jackie Amorim here. Like, my gut said that, and then everything I looked into said that too.
Good. Chase Hooper catching strays, not cool.
I like Chase Hooper.
I know. you're spraying him with you're dissing his grappling. All right, let's move to featherweight, shall we? Joshua Coulibal versus Danny Silva. Tell you about Silva first. El Puma. I have no idea what that means. He's 8-1 with 5 knockouts. Never been finished in a fight. This is his UFC debut. He's won 2 straight fights, including one on the Contender Series. He's 1-0 there. I just fight at featherweight, an inch height over Coulibal, 3 years younger. Better striking stats, 5 times more active landing strikes based off of his one Contender Series fight. He outstruck his opponent on that fight by 0.47 strikes per minute. He's got better grappling stats as well based off the small sample size than Coulibal, plus 160. Coulibal, 11-2-1, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, 3-2-1 in the UFC, 3-1 over his last 4. He did lose his last fight. He used to fight at lightweight, multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Remember, code MADNESS. Get 15% off. Coulibal has missed weight before at featherweight. 3 inches of reach over Silva. Has been outstruck in the UFC by 0.61 strikes per minute, minus 180. Give me the dog, Silva. No, it's you. You take the dog, Silva, and tell the people why we like the dog, Silva.
Yeah, I like Danny Silva in this fight. you know, a lot of reasons why I like Danny Silva, but the bottom line is he looked really impressive in that fight with Angel Pacheco on Contender Series. He won it really clearly outright. But the thing that stood out to me in that fight was just his ability to hang in the pocket. And I think I went back and I watched that fight. I think Pacheco got like unfairly crushed by the media and fans after that fight and Twitter and stuff like that, because he's actually a pretty high level fighter. But Danny Silva just put both a pace on him and the way he works, his combinations to stay in the pocket and land like five shots, two to the body, two to the head, back to the body to end it. You know, he'll capitalize on a leg kick at the end of all those. Like the way he keeps a pace and throws that kind of stuff in the end of it, I think it's a nightmare for Kulibao, because if you watch Kulibao's fights, even the ones where he looks really good, he sort of has trouble throwing more than one or two things in a row. Like he likes like one long overhand or something like that. And, you know, I went back and I watched this fight with Melsik Begdesarian, because I'm like, if he's going to be fighting a striker, what does that look like? He also looked really tentative in that fight. Like he didn't want to go through prolonged exchanges with a guy he knew could hurt him. And I think that's trouble here, because Danny Silva pushes forward. If he keeps giving him that room to push forward, I think Kulibao is going to spend a lot of this fight with his back against the cage. So, yeah, give me the underdog Danny Silva here in this one.
Yeah, I like Silva's power, obviously, and Kulibao gets hit too much. He gets outstruck. So not a good plan for when you're going against a guy who can really crack. So, yeah, I think Silva is worth a sprinkle as a dog here.
Look at you with two underdogs.
I know. I was just going to say, I got two dogs. You were thinking I wasn't going to have any dogs. Now I've got two already. Let's tell you about some more of our fine friends that are helping keeping us in your ear holes and your eye holes. Who we can tell you about in this block here. Let me scroll and find out. I think I remember Gumby's going to put the graphic up, and that will remind me is Champs. That's who it is. Right, Gumby? Yes, there it is. There's a guy with the laptop. He's not really holding a laptop. There's no way. He's pretending to. You can put anything in there. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free, that's the key, free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. All right, moving along to lightweight fight, Thiago Moises, Mitch Ramirez. We'll go with Ramirez first. The Fight Stalker is the nickname. He's 8-1 with 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He owes his rounds. This is his short notice UFC debut, so alarm bells are ringing. Won his last fight via TKO. Lost on the contender series. He went 0-1. Who did you lose to, Gumby? I like to put you on the spot.
Carlos Prachez.
There you go. He remembers.
Mostly just because I love Carlos Prachez. Yes.
And it was fairly recent. It was last season, right?
Yeah.
2 inches height, 1 inch reach over Moises, more active landing strikes than Moises based off of his one fight. He did get outstruck by Prachez in that fight by 1.12 strikes per minute. He's at plus 375. So no, this is one of the big, this is the biggest line we're going to talk about today, actually. Moises, 17-7, 3 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 6-5 in the UFC, 2-1 over his last 3, 2-3 over his last 5. Lost his last fight via TKO. Won an old contender series, was a regional champion, used to fight at featherweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. 3 years younger than Ramirez, he's been outstruck over his UFC and contender series career by almost 2 strikes a minute, minus 1.93, minus 450. I can't take a short notice debut in fighter. I'll take a veteran in Moises, a veteran yet more experienced and younger than Ramirez. So give me Moises, minus 450.
I'm going to take a stab on an underdog here. I'm going to take one. Mitch Ramirez, and here's why. Because I hear a bunch of people out there being like, oh, rolling their eyes, Gumby on another plus 375 underdog. The reason I like Mitch Ramirez in this time is if you go back and you look at any of Thiago Moises' fights, if he's got a strike with you, does he have a shot in hell at winning? Right? Like, that's the bottom line, right? Like, he's not outstriking anybody here in the UFC. He was getting badly outstruck by Michael Johnson and stuffed in takedowns by Michael Johnson until he fell to his back for a heel hook. And Michael Johnson was like, I don't know what's happening. I've never seen this before. And so like for that reason, like Moises just comes off as kind of one note. And to your point, Mitch Ramirez is a bigger guy, right? Like Mitch Ramirez is a guy who puts together really good combinations. And have we seen him against a grappler, the level of Moises, who might take him down like Moises? No, not really. He looked good against Arian Tavares in his last fight. And, you know, I've seen him on the regional scene look good otherwise. But, like, yeah, I don't know what he looks like against that. But if he comes out and he just sets a good distance and makes Thiago Moises work for those takedowns, maybe even stuffs a couple of those takedowns, he is going to piece him up on the feet. Because the thing about Ramirez is, you know, the nickname is apt. He's a dude who loves to stalk his opponents. He's really good at putting big pressure on them. And I think if Moises whiffs on a couple of takedowns and eventually starts to either give up on him or be so tired that he doesn't have anything left in him, I think Ramirez is just going to pile up the strikes and put it on him. So, yeah, I'd say, you know, gun to my head, Thiago Moises probably winning this fight, but 375, there's definitely value on Mitch Ramirez here.
All right, there you go. Gumby is going crazy on us again. That's okay. That's why we love him. We need someone taking crazy stabs, and that would be our Gumby. All right, we're going to flyweights now. Jafel Filho versus Ode Osborne. Osborne is the Jamaican sensation, 12-6 with 1 no contest, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. Been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times, 4-4 in the UFC, lost, win, loss over his last 3, 3-2 over his last 5, lost his last 5 via submission. He's fight at bantamweight and featherweight, 1-0 on contender series, 5 inches reach over Filho, which is actually not a heck of a lot based on how big Osborne is. Better striking and stats than Filho, and he's more active landing strikes as well. However, he's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.67 strikes per minute. He's at plus 155. Filho, Pastor, it's a nickname. Is he a Pastor, Dan, have we talked about this already?
We have talked about it, but I don't know.
You don't know. All right, fine. We'll call him a Pastor regardless. 15-3, 5 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been submitted twice. He owes his rounds by my math. 1-1 in the UFC, 6-1 over his last 7. Won his last 5 via submission. 1-0 in contender series. He used to fight at bantamweight. Regional champion, 2012 pro MMA debut. A year younger than Osborne. Better grappling stats than Osborne. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.31 strikes per minute. He's at minus 180.
Is this me or you?
It is you.
I'm going to go dog again. I like Ode Osborne here. And here's the reason why. I think people forget Ode Osborne comes from a wrestling background. Mm-hmm. He's a wrestler from way back when. And does he use it offensively? No. But in that Charles Johnson fight, he used it defensively. He stopped Charles Johnson from getting in on his legs. And the thing about Filho is, if you want to go back in all of his fights, he's not a good wrestler. He's really good at jiu-jitsu. Like, I love his jiu-jitsu. He looked great against Muhammad Makhachev in the grappling there. But you want to go back to his takedown abilities, I don't really see it. And so then the question is if Ode just says, "Nah, we're not going to the ground," do you think Filho has it on the feet to tag Ode Osborne? Because I kind of don't. Like, Ode is long. Ode pokes a jab. Ode puts decent combinations together. He's really only been beat on the feet by Tyson Nam, who, granted, you know, not as great of a fighter as Filho, I don't think, but definitely more deadly on the feet. And Manel Cape. So, like, if those are the guys who are beating you on the feet, and the, you know, Asu Almabayev took him down, so, you know, you give him that. I don't think Filho, like, hits those same criteria as somebody who's going to get Osborne down, get him down often, and wind up winning a fight. So I know I'm going a little dog crazy here early on. I'm going to go dog again. I think Ode Osborne gets it done.
All right. I'll come along with you. I like Ode Osborne as well. And you helped me convince me into actually picking him.
Were you on the line? Were you right on the line of this one?
Yeah, I ended up penciling in Filho, but if you're not big on Filho, then I'm definitely not big on Filho either. I do like Ode Osborne.
Let me give you this piece too. So Jafal Filho fought Daniel Barrez in his last fight. One for four against Daniel Barrez in the takedowns. He fought a guy by the name of Roybert Echevarria. Roybert. Yes, I know that
guy.
We
talked about him before.
Yeah. That was contender series. So he fought, and he went 2-7 trying to take Echevarria down. And Echevarria is like strictly a striker. So, like, we're talking about guys with, like, you know, Barrez has got a little bit of a grappling background, but like Echevarria is more of a striker. And we're talking about Filho going 2-7 in that. And Osborne's wrestling's better than that.
Yep. Every episode we have Ode Osborne in a fight, you remind everyone that he's a wrestler, by the way.
Yeah, so he comes people from should a wrestling know by now. Background. He
comes from a wrestling background, exactly what you say. All right, let's go. Let's give the ladies some shine finally here. Women's bantamweight fight. Josie Ann Noon, so I won't say her nickname, versus Chelsea Chandler. I'll tell you about Chandler first. 5-2, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. 1-1 in the UFC, 5-1 over her last 6, but did lose in her last fight. He's fight at featherweight, 4-1 in Evicta, missed weight before at bantamweight. Yeah, so both these ladies are moving down to bantamweight because featherweight does not exist anymore. 6 inches taller than Nunes, 1 inch of reach. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.06 strikes per minute, so pretty much a match. Better grappling stats than Nunes, +124. Josie is the nickname, another great nickname, just like Jackie. She's 10-1 with 7 knockouts, 3-0 in the UFC, has not fought since January 2023, has won 9 straight fights, has not lost since November 2013. He's fought at featherweight as well, as I said, 2013 pro MMA debut, 3 years younger than Chandler, twice more active landing strikes. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.37 strikes per minute, -135. Kind of a tough one for me. I'm taking Josie Nunes though. I like the striking way more. I like the power, obviously. Chandler obviously became a meme because she ran headfirst into the cage. But if she was getting peppered by,
Norma Dumont, like
Norma Dumont's power, then yeah, Josie Nunes has a whole, Norma Dumont does not finish people. Josie Nunes finishes people with her power. So, if she had trouble with, Norma's power, then yeah. Josie's lookout. A little concerned, obviously, about Nunes being out of the cage for over a year. Obviously concerned about level of competition that she's beaten. And there's not a Ramona Pascal anyone.
I was just going to say Ramona Pascal.
There, straight for her. But I'm still taking it regardless. And I think it's a pretty good line here.
Yeah, the bottom line is she throws them bungalows. That's what she does. She absolutely throws bombs. Look at that Pascal fight. I mean, she just threw overhand right. I mean, it was ugly, but she put a beat down on Pascal. Mm-hmm. And Pascal was way bigger than her too, right? And like for me, Chelsea Chandler, I've been a fan. You know, I've been to bat for Chelsea Chandler even after she became the meme that she was, because I do think she's got a lot of things that are good about her game. You know, she's sort of got some underrated grappling. Her boxing is not bad. My big issue is her defensive boxing. Her head's there to be hit, and against Josie Nunes, like that's not a good thing. You can't. Mm-hmm. You have to be elusive fighting Josie Nunes because she hits so hard for a women's bantamweight. She hits maybe harder than any woman in the women's bantamweight at the moment. You know, like prime Holly Holm is probably hitting you harder. Current Holly Holm is like laying on you in the cage at about 1/8 of that power. So, Josie Nunes, it might be the hardest hitter right now, and Chelsea Chandler is going to be there to be hit. So yeah, give me Nunes.
I am glad you're in with me. Not that you're so much smarter than I am, but I'm still, I'm glad. Cause I know you kind of like Chelsea Chandler.
I love Chelsea Chandler. So. Yeah. That's a tip off too. Like if it's a fighter who I personally like really like I really like Chelsea Chandler. She's super nice. I think her style is actually could play up, and I'm still not picking against you.
Yeah.
Or I'm still picking against you. Like, that's probably a sign that there's value here on Nunes.
Yep. You know where else there's value, Gumby? There's value at Hall of Fame Bets. You can win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets, revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use the code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Boom. Main event time of the prelims, right? Yes. This would be a lightweight fight. Natan Levy versus Mike Davis. A couple of fighters you may have forgot still exist, but these guys both still exist. Let's talk about Levy first. He's lethal. Lethal Levy is 8-1 with 3 submissions. That's not very lethal, really, is it? 3 submissions out of 9 fights, and that's it? No knockouts?
Good enough.
Really, a third of his fights he finishes people in, and you think that's lethal. Fine, all right. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights. 1-0 in Contender Series, used to fight at featherweight. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.49 strikes per minute. Better grappling stats than Davis. He's at +0.49. Has he been out over a year or not? Like, he kept having fights canceled. Let me check. I just want to make sure we don't have a December 2022. So yes, he's been out of the cage for what, a year and a half almost. So throw that in there as well. And the stat on that, in case you wondered, year off. Fighters would take at least a year off, 46% win percentage. So not that great. All right. Davis, beast boy. He's 10-2, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted 1 time. pretty durable guy. 3-1 in the UFC. He's won three straight fights. He's not fought since October of 2022. So this is a big rust ring rust fight going on. He's not won since April 2019. He used to fight at featherweight, was regional champion, 3 inches height, 1 inch of reach, and a year younger than Levy. He's more active landing strikes than Levy is. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.37 strikes per minute. He's at minus 300. All right, Gumby, finish us off here.
Yeah, I'm going Mike Davis.
Me too.
Yeah, big keys for me. He's a much better striker than Natan Levy.
Yes, he's lethal.
Yeah, we've also seen Mike Davis's grappling kind of play up better than we always thought it was. Was it? Am I remembering the right guy? Was it Mike Davis who beat the crap out of Sadiq Youssef on Contender Series and wound up losing the decision?
Let me see. Yes, you are correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So in
upper weight class too, featherweight.
Yeah, and that was down a weight class.
Excuse me. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all he did in that fight was just rip Sadiq Youssef's legs apart. And that's like kind of the game he brings. He brings like this, like ruthless, I'm going to hit you with a billion things kind of, mentality. And I think Levy is just not crafty enough for any of that. And the number is not great. What did you give me on Davis here? What was the number?
It's in the threes, three on the dot, minus three.
Yeah. So 100. The number's not great, but I think that's the right number for where Mike Davis is in this fight. And I think they're trying to get him back on track here against Natan Levy.
Yeah. We don't have to worry about the ring rust because they both have ring rust. So that's one positive. So yeah, Davis is my pick as well. More often than not, I'm going to go with the striker over a grappler, especially a guy as Davis is.
And is Levy lethal. Really a grappler? Like, I know he comes from,
no.
I think he comes from a karate background.
Oh yeah.
Okay. But like, you're right. He has like had to lean on that more in his UFC career, which is like just a sign of how much faith he has in his striking, fighting a guy like Mike Davis.
Yep. I think we're super smart, Gumby. I'm going to recap our picks.
I do.
Our smart picks here. Both have Davis. We both have Nunes. We both have Osborne. I have Moises. He has Ramirez. That's Gumby's big swing of the night. I have Silva. We both have Silva. Excuse me. We both have Amarim. We both have Gregorio. So other than you being silly, we did okay. You just got a little temporary silliness.
This is just how you try to beat me for a week too, because I've beaten you a couple of weeks. Beat you a couple of weeks in a row, and you're like, oh, I'll let him go first on the tough ones and just chat along with him.
We do the same. For the record, we do the same order every episode. You kick off the prelims. I kick off the main card. All right. So sometimes it just works out good for me. I do need some wins though. It is true. It's true. Well, we're both hating the same amount, but Gumby is ahead because he takes swings and sometimes his swings come through. We'll be back tomorrow. See if we're lockstep again tomorrow with our picks for the main card. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. If you lasted this long, why are you listening or watching if you didn't enjoy it? So obviously you enjoyed it. And if you have made it this far and you're on YouTube and you haven't subscribed yet, Gumby kind of reprimanded all you people starting. But yeah, I'm the good cop here, but still, I agree. You should subscribe as well. We want to drive around in Ferraris like everyone does around here, Gumby, right?
Yeah, not here, and but like at your place.
No,
yeah.
Not hill. Apparently, hill country, there's no Ferraris, is what I was told by Gumby. You're in hill country, technically?
Yeah, these are hills. Yeah.
I was in Toronto yesterday, so three of the Ferraris were in Toronto. So there you go. Okay. Or two, yeah, three, so. There you go. It could just be the same one driving around too. What else? Yeah. So it won't cost you any money and we could get Ferraris. All right. So subscribe on YouTube. What else should you do? You should obviously subscribe and auto download or whatever. That's a good thing to say. Or whatever on your streaming service of choice as well. You should follow us on Twitter if you choose, SGPN MMA. Gumby runs that account for us. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there. And on Instagram, you should listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast every week. Gumby knocks it out of the park with a co-host who mispronounces fighters' names even worse than I do. Kennedy Enzichukwu was the fun one this week.
We worked through it, though. Yeah, we worked through it.
Yeah, I know. It was like Hooked on Phonics episode. Tell the people who's on.
We talked with Isaac Dolgarian, who's going to be on the main card. We'll talk about him on tomorrow in this episode. But we got an interview in with him. Really interesting guy. And then we got Kurt Hallbaugh talking about winning the Ultimate Fighter and coaching his children who now fight.
Yep. There you go. I heard both of that. So it's true. He's not lying to you. And get onto my Substack. Subscribe there, and you can enter my Pick'em contest, a weekly UFC Pick'em contest for free, and you can win stuff. That's moneymma.substack.com. And, of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Gumby and I have stuff up there every day, as well as hundreds of other, not hundreds, but lots of other writers have stuff up there as well. And all our podcasts and all our discounts and all our contests, everything can be found there. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Remember, madness is the code. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, so we can crush the corporate gambling monsters out there. All right, we'll be back tomorrow to finish off this here UFC Fight Night. It will be Lethal Jeff Fox and Josie Vreeland will be riding shotgun. We'll talk to you then. Bye.